whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but rather that through the receiving of him life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
All right. I changed in midstream here about what I wanted to teach. I have it here. Disciples of Jesus Christ, the Overcomers. So let me go back. Now, what did I do to miss that? Here we go. Oh, my. All right. So let's go over here. And I want to talk about overcoming. Because this is overcoming is something that is very important, and I come across it all the time. Well, not all the time, but frequently. Let's look at disciples of Jesus Christ, the overcomers. Now, there's certain things that we have to keep in our mind, on the forefront of our mind, and one of them with the Lord is that we are overcoming. Because if we don't, another one is the blessed hope. There's another one. Okay. And the others like Jesus Christ came to heal a broken hand. There's several things out there. Something for our salvation, like whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But overcomers are very, very important that we realize that through Jesus Christ, and his resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, we are overcomers. Otherwise, we can fight the battle on the devil's grounds rather than the Lord's ground. So the devil's ground is, it could be in a marriage situation or family situation. It could be a problem at work, a problem with neighbors, interacting there with various things that could be a problem. And we cannot do it, or we shouldn't attempt to do these, maybe real problems. Let's say hatred. We take it on our ground and not, I'm going to say the devil's ground, because with his hatred, that's the devil's kingdom. So that's where the overcomers come in. We have to be, cognizant of this, that we are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. And that means the blood covenant that Christ made with us on Calvary. That's our, I'm going to say, battleground. That's where we make our stand. Because otherwise, we can easily slip into the flesh, and then there is hatred building up in us, so malice and anger, and all of that, and it matches what's on the other side. And next thing you know, really bad things are said. It could even get into violence. Tremendous anger, saying things you shouldn't say. So this is what we got to be conscious of. We are overcomers, and that overcoming ground is where we stand. So I want to go through this and show you what our ground is, where we take our stand, like for hatred, for example. Let's go through this and get to it. I'm doing a little bit here about discipleship. So, overcoming the foundation. The definition is to subdue, conquest, means of success, and then it's translated, conquer, overcome, prevail, victory. So we go to where the Lord was an overcomer. That's John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As he overcame, I guess, I should say, so can we. In fact, I'm thinking I should open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for all that's in your word, like that we are overcomers. And we are overcomers through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's how we overcome. Not our own strength, not our own intellect and all that, but we overcome like you overcame. And it's your power that makes us the overcomer. So I'm asking that we all would apply this to our lives. And whatever I ask is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant, as you made with us on Calvary, in Jesus' name. All right, so let me say John 16:33 again. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, now here's the key, you might have peace. So in that that verse there, it tells us, really, right, it's staring right at us what overcoming is. So let me back up and start again. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. There's an overcomer. An overcomer is someone that's anchored in God's peace. There's the key right there. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So because the Lord Jesus Christ overcame the world, and that is through, that's what the overcomers have peace. So because he has peace and overcame the world, so can we through him. So it's right there. It's kind of blaring right out at us. What is overcoming? Peace. Peace. So in any situation, it could be peace and a little more. It could be peace in God's love, peace and joy, things like that. But at the core of it, at the root of being an overcomer, is living in peace. So we take that back to what I was starting earlier, and it could be a family sense situation with this tremendous hatred. So what happens is, we'll say it's husband and wife situation, and one spouse has tremendous hatred for the other, or can really flare up ugly real quickly. So the other spouse that's anchored in the Lord, mature in the Lord, lives in peace, great peace. So the other spouse does not come down and getting into the mud wrestling. You stay above it. And through that peace and love and that, we don't engage in hatred. We stay above it through the peace of Jesus Christ. And that way things can be brought under control. The person that has peace can diffuse it, or have the strength to walk away, or not to say ugly, hurtful things that can really do a lot of damage. So the peace there shows that we are mature in the Lord, And God is our Abba Father. We're his little children. And we have overcome hatred through Jesus Christ. Now, what I said sounds easy, but it takes spiritual maturity, folks. It takes a move of God in our life, because our natural nature is very defensive. Maybe a broken heart might be involved in it, which we react to with anger. So our natural inclination is to, the expression we have is get in the flesh. I mean, that's what we call it. So not getting into the flesh, living above it, is a sign of maturity and being an overcomer. If you're in a situation, and it's whatever the situation is, I mean, it could be home with the spouse, or maybe with the children. It could be at work. It could be with a family member. It could be with a neighbor. I don't know. You might belong to some organization and there's something going on there. Living above it, living as an overcomer. So what is the definition of an overcomer? To subdue, conquest, means of success. And it's translated, in addition to overcomer, conqueror, prevail, victory. And I know deep down inside we all want that. But like I said, our I'm going to use our human nature, our fleshly nature, the Adamic nature, as Paul calls it, the old man, can be very defensive. Throw a broken heart in can really set a person off. Wounds, through the years can stir things up. So that's where the love of God in us through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ gives us great peace, so we don't get down to the mud wrestling. We live above it. So let's look at Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, when it says here, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that him goes back to verse 10, and it's Satan. It's Satan, the accuser of the brethren. So, how is Satan overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. And what happened with the blood of the Lamb? Well, that was the cross. And he shed his blood on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And we have a covenant with him. So we can be victorious. We can be overcomers by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who gave us the grounding to be overcomers through his victory. Now we take that a little further and we go to Hebrews 13:20 and 21, and it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that's his resurrection, that great shepherd of the sheep, now look at this, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we gain a little bit more here now. I mean, Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I wanted to go back to Revelation 12:11. We'll come, as soon as I finish that, we'll come back to Hebrews 13:20. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See, this is in three parts. And by the word of their testimony. So it's very important being an overcomer is that we overcome also with the word of our testimony. And that means that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin. He's coming for us with the blessed hope. See, that's the word of our testimony. So we stand in that as overcomers. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I'm under the blood of the everlasting covenant there. That puts us right smack dab in the middle of the spiritual battle with the under the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we got to speak this out, folks. Because look what it says. And by the word of their testimony, it can't be any clearer. The word of their testimony. That's part of overcoming. So we can't be silent. We can't just take it. You know, let the devil give us horrific body punches. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, standing in that blood covenant with the word of our testimony. That's how we go on the offensive. Standing in the blood of the everlasting covenant and the word of our testimony. I am an overcomer because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross and paid the price for my sin. God is my Abba Father. These are the things of our testimony. Our testimony like that, folks, is warfare, spiritual warfare. The devil pays attention to our testimony. So if we have a negative testimony that's negating prayer that we're putting up, negating intercession we're putting up, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have to catch ourselves, folks, and like not praying, let's say, correctly, and then continue with a testimony that negates what we just prayed. We've got to be very careful of that. So we're, as overcomers, we realize we overcome Satan by the blood covenant that Jesus Christ made with us. The word of our testimony is incredibly important, and that our testimony here lines up with the blood covenant, the victory in it. And then it says, and they love not their lives unto death. Jesus Christ is first in our life. He is first in our life. And through the power of the word and the confession of our faith, we love not our lives unto death. That is that. Those 1, 2, 3. Number one, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, and we overcome by the word of our testimony. And number three, we love not our lives unto death. Jesus Christ is absolutely, we're sold out to him. Satan's got a hard time with that, folks. In fact, he really has no chance at all. I suggest that Revelation 12:11 is so important that everyone should get it under their belt. Number one, for yourself. Number two, maybe to minister to someone that you could go to Revelation 12:11 right away, or you could quote it, because that is definitely a discipleship tool, Revelation 12:11. Okay, now let's drop down to Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. There's his resurrection. And he was resurrected in power, folks. The great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the covenant he made on Calvary with us. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So right here, making us perfect in every good work, you know, having our life line up with God's word, working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight, overcoming folks, victorious in many, many ways, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. How? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the covenant he made with us on Calvary, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So there's great victory here in Hebrews 13:20-21. working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Then it says, through Jesus Christ. Well, go back up to verse 20, and it's the blood of the everlasting covenant that he made with us on Calvary. So that overcoming is really the foundation of it, is the blood covenant that Christ made with us on Calvary. And then we go to Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Well, we just looked at scriptures that tells us by the blood of Jesus, we have a blood covenant with God that Christ made with us on Calvary. So how do we enter into the holiest? By the blood of Jesus, through the covenant he made with us, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The veil there used to separate us in the temple of God. That veil separated man from God. That veil, because sin was not paid for by the blood of Jesus. So it's his blood. He consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So it's his flesh that allows the veil to be open. And having a high priest over the house of God. So Jesus Christ is our high priest. And it's by a new and living way. And we can enter into the holiest in heaven through his blood. And that means the blood covenant. You can't separate the blood of Jesus with the blood covenant he made with us. Really one and the same. About him dying and paying the penalty, the price for our sin, for the remission of sin. That's done through a covenant he made with us. So we can enter into the holiest now. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest in heaven. That's the holy of holies, where the throne is, God's throne is, by the blood of Jesus. This is all overcoming, folks. That's tremendous discipleship, the authority that we have, the that we can come with boldness, authority. I guess boldness today we could kind of, I think, use, it's kind of lost somewhat in the modern world of what it was back in the day. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, having therefore, brethren, authority to enter into the holiest, not by ourselves, no, by the blood of Jesus, the blood covenant of Jesus. That's a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. He is our high priest, and priests intercede. Priests intercede. So that verse 19 is extremely important, folks, in overcoming. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, authority to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus. So this can really affect our effectiveness in praying, because we're before God's throne and through prayer in heaven, and we can come there with authority. And God is our Father. We can come through authority through the blood covenant of Jesus. So this is all part of overcoming, folks, knowing who we are, coming with authority before, actually it would be our Abba Father in the Holy of Holies. He's sitting on his throne through the blood covenant he made with us and through Jesus on the cross. All right, here. All of this is to build up, folks, to build us up in the Word. And we have to think of this. I've got a blood covenant with Jesus Christ. And I, through that blood covenant, I can go into the holiest of holies in God's temple at his throne. And that Jesus Christ is my high priest. That's real. That translates to spiritual warfare. Because as overcoming, because of who we are in Christ. Now, if there's some, I don't know, some sin that's in the way, that's one thing. But except for that, you got great authority. And then even then, repent of it and confess it to God. You're engaged in spiritual warfare. And let's say there's some sin. Well, you confess it to God that you feel it's in the way. Confess it, and then come and say, Lord, I'm with authority, and I'm in the holiest holies with great authority because of the blood covenant Jesus made me on Calvary, and he is my high priest. That gets God's attention, and it's open to everybody. And then verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Here we go. A true heart. This is how the heart gets involved now. A true heart. In full assurance of faith. This is powerful scriptures, folks. I love the book of Hebrews. I really do. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And how is it sprinkled? With the blood of Jesus. And our bodies washed in pure water. And then a true heart, habitually speaking the truth, truthful and honest, sprinkled with the blood, Hebrews 9:19, 21, and 22. So our conscience, we can come under that blood covenant, because our conscience might want to condemn us, but through the blood covenant, Jesus as our high priest, we can have a free conscience. Free conscience. Okay, I'm looking at the time, and I think we may have, I've run out of time here. And next time I'll pick up with 1 John. There's a lot in 1 John by overcoming. But right now, I'm happy. I'm happy about teaching on overcoming through the blood covenant and the authority that we have through that blood covenant to come boldly to God's throne and have our hearts cleansed. And that means we're not condemned. And if Jesus is our high priest, that's really... folks, that's powerful stuff for intercession. Okay. Let's see who we have here now. Well, we have the regulars, but if anybody else would want to call in, 717-409-5553. If anyone needs some prayer, you can call in. We can pray now, or you could email me and set up an appointment. So, Paula Jean, are you an overcomer?
I am an overcomer, not in my strength, but in the strength of the Holy Ghost and the word of the Lamb.
Yeah, the blood of the Lamb. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's why I'm here. Is to study and learn the word, and to like I've been taking notes as you've done this. I've been looking up the scriptures to print them out and keep them in an area where I can go back and review for overcomer. And so I've been really busy while you've been talking, and haven't got it all, but I can always go back and enter in more. But the whole thing is that it's. What you presented tonight has, each time I put one in following another one, it's all gone in a sequence that builds on itself. and understanding, okay, and reinforcement. It's like the word reinforces what we're being taught by the Lord and by you, you know. And so I just thank you for this lesson tonight very much, because it is important that each one of us aspires to be the overcomer,
right?
Because
right.
we've submitted, right. we've right. we've learned, yeah.
And our flesh does not want to, like, necessarily be an overcomer. Our flesh wants the tangle, and it wants to get revenge and all of that.
You have to die to that,
right? Exactly.
And that's why the flesh fights you.
Yes,
and.
Yes.
So it's a joy to be with people who have been making different choices.
Let me give you an example, and I don't know whether I shared this or not already. I may have. But how the Lord used a specific incident to bring me to become an overcomer. I don't know when this occurred. It was probably sometime in the 90s, I guess. Yeah, sometime in the 90s. But I used to spend a lot of time at the abortion center. There was two of them in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And so one of them, it doesn't matter which one it was. Well, this one particular abortion center, you got very close to the escorts and, mm-hmm. and the people going in. So it was the anniversary of my mother's passing, and that was on my mind. So I went to the abortion center, and there was a homosexual there that was really nasty. He was he didn't do anything basically but standing, but. Interacting with him, he was really nasty. In other words, he didn't escort the women in or anything. He just stood there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I said a word to him. I just kind of crossed his, I was walking towards him to pass him, and he blurted out, and he said to me, your mother should have aborted you. And right away, the old flesh stirred up in me, and I could be very violent, and I could feel it coming. I could actually feel it. It was building up. It was like kind of in my my belly there, as the scripture would say, and it was mm-hmm. filling me, and it came up to my eyes. I actually could feel it. So I looked at him. And I said, no, my mother loved me, would never do that. And all of a sudden, I felt this, like God's hand on the top of my head coming down through me and drove all that out of me. And that was a huge, from that day on, I had that anger that would be triggered, was gone. And it peace replaced it. But I actually felt God, if you want to say, pushing that out of me, taking it out of me. So I overcame. I became in that area now. I became an overcomer, which lasts till this day.
Right. And what I hear is that as you overcame, God's hand came down upon you.
Yes.
To make it complete.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's just, and I'm thankful to the Lord that I was involved in pro-life all those years, because like there's one benefit of it. I don't think I would probably ever engage anybody that would say that to me outside of the abortion center.
Right.
Oh yeah. And he spit. Down on the ground at my feet.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he was used by the enemy, and I'm sure he continued to be for quite a while until he got his comeuppance and learned otherwise. But I'm grateful that the Lord met you where you, you know, met the will of the Holy Spirit. You know, you were an overcomer, yeah. and you just made the right choice, and God confirmed it and took away the constant testing.
Yeah, yeah, it happened at that time, and it was a huge, huge spiritual growth in me. Because I realized early on, and I think it's in Titus, I'm not sure now, but it says the anger of man does not promote the righteousness of God. And that was scripture that the Lord worked on me to not have anger, you know, because you've seen horrible things there. But people, yeah. what they say. So that was the verse. I'm going to find it after I finish talking to you. God was working on me with that verse that I knew if I had anger there, that I was ineffective for God. No matter what I thought, I was ineffective. So I wanted that anger out. And then the final push to get it out was that incident.
So powerful.
All right. Thank you, Paula Jean.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sister Sharon?
Yes, Chaplain John.
Anything you want to add or question, comment?
Okay. Well, I was very, very pleased with the study. And I just know that I've had, you know, events for overcoming and stuff, but, you know, I just can't think of anything specific to mention or talk about. But I know that feeling like that you had, that where you were stopped, you were held in place and guided and stuff. And that's so important, you know, that you were able to feel that and remember it and to talk about it and stuff. And I really enjoyed hearing you talk about it. And stuff. So it's a nice lesson and stuff. And you're going to be talking about this more tomorrow night, right?
No. Well, tomorrow night I'm going to go back with Revelation.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, but you, I really enjoyed tonight. I really, really did. It was very comforting.
All right. I'm glad for that. Okay, here it is. The verse that the Lord convicted me on here was James 1:20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Okay, yes.
So that's, he convicted me about anger there. For what they would say, to you, anger for seeing the, how it was disgusting to see the abortionist go in there and it, just the whole thing. And so the Lord told me I was useless and he gave me that verse. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So like I brought, John Holman wanted to come. The abortion center. So I brought him down. And almost all the people, when they come the first, second time like that, they get very angry with what they see. So I don't know exactly what he was doing, but I could see it was full of anger. So I said, John, do you want to be effective for the Lord or do you want to go home? He said, what do you mean? I said, right now you're full of anger. You're useless. I said, so you want that anger out of you so you can work for the Lord? Because with the anger, you're useless here. I gave him that verse. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So then he repented and said, yeah, okay, yes, I see it. And pro-life people that come down and are full of anger and all, they burn out quickly. They really do. They don't stay too long. Because they can't. There's no power in them, and there's that anger just really puts them in Satan's realm. Really, with all that anger, So we have to, no wrath in us. We got to have the peace of God. Then we can work the righteousness of God. Okay?
Yes, absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. Thank
you. Very understandable.
Then we have Brother Charles here.
Hey, Chaplain. I just wanted to thank you for the prayer last night. I feel a lot better. Thank you.
Good. Good.
Yes, sir.
This is a season, Brother Charles. You know, not everybody goes through what you're going through. I mean, some people come to the Lord and immediately they're off and running. Now, you're getting built up in the faith by overcoming that, I don't know what you want to call it, heresy, you know?
Liberalism, yeah.
Yeah, you are, the Lord is going to, you're going to grow out of that spiritual.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And, Chaplain, we had a great night. I appreciate the teaching, and, you know, we had good fellowship before, you know, at the first part of the night. So it was a great night.
Okay. All right.
So thank you.
You're an overcomer.
Yes, sir.
All right, Sister Kathy.
Yes. I'm just going to mention two things, and it's sort of related. It's related to what we spoke about earlier. But 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me in the last day. And not only to me, but to those who love his appearing. And so he got that, even though he wasn't here when the rapture came, but we're all looking for that. And so we get the crown of life, which is promised to those who endure persecution and remain faithful to God, even in the face of hardship. We get the incorruptible crown or imperishable crown, which is awarded to those who exercise self-discipline and live a life of integrity, mastering their flesh and submitting to God's will, and the crown of righteousness. And it says here that anticipate the second coming of Christ, and then the crown of glory, which we get when we serve God and others faithfully with humility and eagerness, and the crown of rejoicing, which is to those who lead others to Christ and build up the church. And so we are promised a pretty nice, and there's more, but those are for all of us who choose to do what that said.
Yeah, and that crown of righteousness is the easiest. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying this in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest one.
Right.
Because you quoted there 2 Timothy 4:8.
Mm-hmm.
That crown of righteousness of those that love is appearing.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. The scripture that got Charles Spurgeon was when the man said, look unto me and be saved. He said, it doesn't take much to look. You don't have to have an education to look. You don't have to have, you know, money to look. You just don't even have to have possessions to look. You just look. So, yeah, you get that just for looking for his appearing.
Right. Yes, absolutely. It's for love his appearing. And there's a reason for that, because if we love his appearing, we're going to live a righteous life.
Exactly.
It took me a while to figure that out. I said, what's the connection between loving his appearing and a crown of righteousness? They didn't match up to me. And then I saw, wow, look at this. Loving his appearing is going to have a dramatic effect on you and your walk in the Lord.
You're going to keep your lamps filled.
Yes. Yes. All right, let me see who's left here, because we're almost out of time. And it looks like, well, we're going to wait here. We got Rita, Sister Rita. Any questions, comments, Sister Rita?
Good evening, Captain John. No, I just, my only comment, no questions, is that it was great teaching tonight, and I was blessed, as I am usually am blessed by your teaching. So thank you.
Yeah, and I think that that's something we should really learn to practice in prayer, coming before the throne with authority, with confidence, as it says there, boldness in the scriptures, because of that blood covenant and that Jesus is our high priest. I mean, because Hebrews tells us to do that, but I don't can ever remember if I've done that. I was kind of convicted tonight as I was looking at those scriptures in Hebrews. That will build up our authority. You know, Abba Father, we're before you with confidence because of the blood covenant that your son made with us on Calvary. And the Lord is my high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So, you know, I think that really develops a deeper personal prayer life with the Lord. What do you think, Sister Rita?
Well, I have to give that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, you muted me.
Yes, by mistake.
Well, okay, I have to pray about that and give it some thought, because I don't. When I go to prayer to the Lord God, I kind of go more in a submission sort of attitude, because I don't want to make him mad at me for any reason. So I don't want to be arrogant or say that because I'm asking this, you should give it to me attitude. But I don't know. I just have to think about that for a while.
Sure. Okay. All right. No problem. You think of it. And then we have, this should be Gigi and Randy here. Hello, is this Gigi and Randy? Okay.
And repeat the comment that Rita is pondering.
Repeat it?
Yeah, say it again.
Well, I'll let Rita do it. Hello, Rita.
Okay, you want me? Yes. What I said is that when I go to prayer to the Lord God, I don't go with
I know. I know. But what did he say that you said? I've got to think about that. How did he say? I can listen to the replay later. I just thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did Chaplain John say to that?
I'll listen to the replay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't remember now exactly how that interaction went. I just look at it there where it says God wants us to do it. He wants us to come. That boldness is confidence with authority.
Yeah.
Because of that blood covenant.
Absolutely.
And that Jesus.
Because he is our Father.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. Jesus is our high priest. And if you look at it more, he's our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So he's telling us, he's encouraging us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
Well,
that's good.
I'm tired, folks. And mm-hmm. I like this on overcoming. I like this teaching on overcoming. See, we need that. That's discipleship. We are overcomers. So now I don't know how many years ago that was, 30 years ago that I had that encounter at the abortion center. But as a result of that, the Lord has used it for me to become an overcomer in that area.
Amen.
And, you know, the Lord will bring other things up and show us that we need to be overcomers. Right?
And then we give the testimony, and that's how he does.
Yeah.
Perfect.
One thing he did with me also, real quickly, I'll tell you this. I didn't know that I had a spirit of fear in me that had been because of that job I had, my career job. The job was easy. The management was psychopath. And that wasn't easy. But I had retired, and I was driving in an area that I used to go pretty frequently when I was an agent. But I was retired now, and I wasn't an agent. And I was driving down the road, and there was a convenience store gas station that I used to stop at and get gas. And they made homemade unsweetened iced tea, which I really like. I like unsweetened iced tea with lemon. So I would stop in there regularly, get gas, and get the iced tea. So I'm not thinking about the job. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm probably thinking about the Lord and scriptures. And I'm driving down, and I look to my right, and there is that convenience store-like gas station. And instantly, I felt fear. I mean, it came up, and it filled me with fear. And it was, I think, it was pretty close to a panic attack. And I looked over, and I saw that, and this happened to me. I'm driving the car, and all this is going on. And I quoted, "God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Spirit of fear, you have no authority. I live with the power of the Holy Spirit." And I felt, as I was saying that, the whole thing, a lot like that anger, the whole thing subsided out of me, and never had that again. But it was like a panic attack. It came out of no place, but it's something like Peter had a spirit of fear in him when he was with the Lord, but he didn't know it until the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And that spirit of fear manifested and he fled. He was powerless. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that spirit of fear took all the power out of him and he ran. And it took the great love he had for Jesus, it took that out of him. And it took the sound mind out of him. He went crazy. After all he saw with the Lord, he went nuts, running from the Lord and all, afraid in front of a little 14-year-old girl, intimidated. Right? So that God took that fear was in me, and I didn't know it, but he took it out. And that's how we grow many times like that. Stand in the Lord. We don't say I need Valium or whatever it is. And in this particular case, I stood on the word and it fled. So I want to, that's how we are. That's part of the way. That's how we become overcomers, like that, standing on the word.
Amen.
Okay. God bless everybody. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow morning for prayer. Oh, Sister Kathy.
Yes, sir.
Can you repeat what Pastor Dove told us this morning about the prayer?
I can, because Eve asked and I wrote it down, and so I went to great lengths to find it, but he said it several different ways. He said it two different ways before he said kingdom power center. We
yes.
are a kingdom power center. Your program is a world changing, and I'll go back and get the other two phrases that he used, but it was just, he just was emphasizing how significant he feels like your system is. For that.
Yeah, that's
and like
said.
Eve said, she felt like he did not plan to say that it just was downloaded into him, and it's like, bing, this is what's coming from the throne of heaven. I'm going to say this.
Yes, that's what he said this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said it was like one of those electric car stations where you go and pull
right.
the car.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the
power station.
Power
mm-hmm.
station, yeah. But that was very
power
touching.
Power charging station.
Power charging, yeah. That was very touching when he said that.
Yeah, it touched us, all of us. I mean, really, it was just wing, wing, wing.
All right. Again, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God bless you now.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.